I want to start with your background, like
Okay.
what you grew up with and your religious background and anything
Okay.
you want to share about that. So.
Yeah. So, I grew up from the time I could remember in a Baptist church, and then later in life I was in a Methodist church, and then I went I was in the Methodist church for a good while. Well, up into my adult life, yeah. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. I studied the Bible a lot. I taught Sunday school and adult Sunday school and in the Baptist church,
Okay.
and also had a youth program and stuff. And so yeah, I spent a lot of time working on that and studying. So a lot of study went into that. As you know, anytime that you've taught or whatever, you end up learning more than anybody else in the room, And so I just had it was like God gave me that desire to the curiosity and the to know more, to kind of try to understand more. And so the background was always very much, King James Version only. So I was only, so anytime I refer, I'm looking at something, it's always through the King James Version. And and then I think what I found out is things just started to not make a lot of sense. And the more I was kind of, walking down this path, and the more research I did, I realized that there's a lot of words in the King James Version that was not in the original manuscripts. And then some words were used for other words, and it was just very confusing for me. And once I started having that realization, and that was, keep in mind, I'm 60, and that was only a few years ago, and I've spent my entire life, so it's not like, I think it, the process is has been really right on time, of course, but to some people's eyes it might be slow, but I'm learning every day. It's incredible. So, and that's what keeps my desire, I think, is the learning. I'm always learning something.
So what was the big question that you had or that kind of sent your journey off on a different path?
I think it was, I don't think there was any like one big question,
Okay.
Steve. I think, you'd like to kind of point it to that, but I think when we read the scripture and we see that we've not really been studying, or we've not really been reading, we've been reading with blind eyes, and we've not been seeing everything that's in the scripture. You know how it is. You'll like have a thought, and then when you read the word, you can't unsee what you've kind of understood, right? So you go through. So you every time you read the Bible, you can go through and you can kind of you're picking you've got this idea, and then you go through, and then everywhere you look, you're seeing it. Whereas before, you didn't see it at all. And so I think that was kind of how it went. So I don't think there was any really one big question, other than maybe, when one of the words I kind of said on this is just an example, is the word all, ALL. In the New Testament, it's all is there almost 1,000 times. That's a lot for one word to be used. And in the Old Testament, it's almost, I want to say it's almost 4,000. It's been used 4,000 times. So when God is talking about all, he's not meaning a few. And it seems as we look, if we look at the news every night, or we look at whatever that's going on in our world, in our local community or whatever, it's always they and us. It's they and us. And everybody tries to categorize people like that. And they want to get people on their team. So it's like they and us. So it doesn't matter. It could be with anything. And that's not the way God talks about it. That's the way he talks about the Old Testament. But of course, we're not living in the Old Testament and under that law. So in the New Testament, it's us. It's all. It's everyone. And so I think things like that, I just had a lot of different things coming at me and kind of pushing me to that path. So yeah, I don't think it was really one thing. It was just a lot of things. And the other thing too is you can talk to people about this and you can kind of walk them through it, but until God, allows them to see it and want to see it or whatever, you're not going to change people's minds, So
what was some of the big truths then that, where did it take you as far as some of the new things that you started to see?
Yeah. So, I realized that it's not they and us, right? It's all of us. And we're all children of God, and he's created everything. And, and to him be the glory only, as it tells us in Revelation 4:11. So it's, it's all of us. And it helps me to be more, more compassionate than I've ever been in my life, because I realize that, if somebody's doing something that's not necessarily maybe the way I might think they should be doing it, they're one of God's children as well. And he loves them just as much as he does me. And hey, it just helps me have more compassion mm-hmm. on people that I see that are maybe doing something wrong, or that maybe they are, sick, all the things that people go through in this life. And, and I think the other thing too, that may have helped me is, watching my mom and dad pass. They passed at the beginning of the pandemic. Well, my father did, my mother passed a year later. But, just seeing what mattered to them at the end of their life, it wasn't the same thing that we're all worried about, it was and the deal is everybody's walking around like in a daze, thinking that they're going to somehow get out of this life alive. And, it's just not going to happen. They live their lives like they think they're going to live forever. I have to say, I was the same, same way, still am to a degree. Right. So.
Yeah. So as you come on to some of these beliefs, like the salvation of all, God's sovereignty, the false belief we've been taught about the Trinity and some of those things. How did that impact your life?
Oh my goodness. When you talk about God's sovereignty, that's something that I had a very hard time with. And when I think about, I go back to the first and I think through these things, and I'm thinking about Eve in the garden. And what did the devil tell her? Said, you will be like gods, right? You'll be like God. What does being like God mean? It means I see it as meaning you have control of, you know, of what's going on. And so I almost feel like that was the, that was really kind of the temptation, was to offer Eve the ability to have control. And we've been walking through life our entire lives thinking that we have control, being taught to believe this, right? And, you know, there's a jail that's full of people who think they had control, who think they were in control. There's, you know, the graves are full of good people who thought they were in control, you know. And the bottom line is, you know, and I'm just kind of, you know, beginning to understand this, or to feel very confident in this. We just, you know, I just don't see us having control of anything. And the Bible tells us that. The Bible tells us that, you know, man makes his plans, and then, you know, God, you know, designs his feet where they're going to go, right? And his footsteps. And so when we think about that, we think about the Bible, and we think about what it says and how it's not contradictory. You know, if you feel the Bible is contradicting itself, you know, you need to change the way you understand it, maybe, you know. But and two, think about this. You know, I have friends that are atheists, and I have friends that are, you know, that have all, you know, the entire spectrum of beliefs, just like most people do.
Right.
And, you know, the difference is, you know, they don't necessarily believe in God. I do. And so if I believe in God, I believe in everything that word says. And that's kind of the basis for my day, is what it says in the word. So if they... if you believe in the Bible, you've got to believe, you know, all of those things. But again, it goes back to, you know, in being able to understand, you can't just take a Bible that was designed and approved for a king and say, hey, this is what it is. I mean, we have to go back and we have to understand what the manuscript said in order to do that. And it takes some work. You got to do that, because you can't just take people's word for it. You got to go back and, you know, just like the Bereans did, right? You got to go back and you got to better understand what's being said and stuff. And so, yeah.
So what are some of the Bible study books or tools that you use in your study?
Oh yeah. Well, that's right now. You're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't follow any man, but I will say that I don't know anyone that is more well-versed than Clyde Pilkington on the subject. And, you know, when you see me, you see some, you know, some Phillies sign, you know, because you and I, and I see you have the shirt on. I have that shirt, Steve. I just want you to know that I have. And so you know, you look behind his desk when he's doing a video or something, he's got like, yeah, he doesn't have a bookshelf like yours or mine. I mean, it's like it takes up the whole wall. And so I don't know anybody that's more well read on the subject that I've heard. So and what's interesting about Clyde, he's not just saying, hey, this is what I'm saying and this is the way it should be. He's including authors as well. I just finished a book about I wish I could remember the name of it. Anyway, in the back of the book, it had a lot of different people who have written a lot of different things kind of on the same subject. And he included that in his Bible. So he's not saying, hey, this is what, you know, he's genuine, is what I'm trying to say. He's not trying to inflate himself or, you know, look what a great author I am or anything like that. He's including a lot of different people in that, the work that, you know, him and, you know, his son's doing there, you know, and the entire group, I think, is incredible. So that has been kind of the main thing. I think when I first started out, I think it was like you know, when I first started kind of delving in and trying to understand, and I didn't even know why I was doing it. I'll just tell you, you know, there was nobody like, you know, trying to convince me of this or anything. It was just like, it was just something that, you know, it's like, I just had the desire to do it, right? And we know God puts desires in our heart, right? So I ran across a couple of people, the Tent Maker website. You know, and I think Gary was the guy, and from what I understand, he's passed, you know. And so there was another guy that I listened to, more scholarly, I think, a little harder for, you know, just a plain old guy like me to understand, but David Art, I think it's David Artman, I think. And I listened to a couple of his audiobooks and read some of his stuff. And, you know, and you can listen to all these people, but, and they can come off with all sorts of, you know, accolades and all sorts of diplomas and everything. But I'm going to tell you, if a person goes to a Baptist seminary, they're being, you know, they're being taught Baptist theology. If they go to a Methodist seminary, they're being taught Methodist theology. And so it's biased, is what I'm trying to say. And but we have so much pride. We have so much pride, Steve, that we want to. It's hard for us to, you know, to have studied for 20, 30 years and then turn around and say, hey, guess what? I had it wrong, you know? I mean, because then you think your entire life was a waste in your study. And that's not the case. It's like it's not a way. It's like you had to go through that. God wanted you to go through that to get to this. And so it's almost like he's made me kind of dispose of that part of my pride. I'm not prideless, you know. I mean, I have more pride than I want, but he made me get rid of that part and say, hey, that's I had books and I had stuff by other authors and CDs and stuff like that where I'd listen all the time, you know. I was always listening to it, whatever. And I couldn't, you know, I couldn't give them away. I couldn't sell them. I couldn't do any of that. I had to throw them in the trash, you know, because I felt like it was, for me, it would have been me, you know, promoting that. And that's something I sure don't want to do, you know, especially supporting that division. And that's what, you know, that's what I see that, you know, some of our brothers and sisters, you know, teach is, you know, division and something I surely didn't want to be a part of.
So you were at the conference back a couple months ago in
Yes.
Johnstown. So what were some of the highlights of that for you?
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, it's like, you know, if what I found, if you, especially living in the Bible Belt, if you believe the way we kind of believe, you're on an island, you know, and that's exactly where God wants you. And so being able to hear other people's stories, being able to hear other people talk about it, being able to hear the folks that we had speaking, and, you know, helping us better understand some other concepts or showing us things in the scripture that maybe we haven't, you know, come to realize yet. It was just incredible. It was just incredible. And I mean, I'm ready for the, you know, for the organizers to get things back going. And, you know, if it's something that folks are interested in, this is definitely the place to go. It's a safe haven. It's a safe environment. And you can share your ideas and thoughts and you won't be judged. And nobody's out to debate you or argue with you or whatever. You're exactly where God wants you right now. And we all are, I feel. And so yeah, it was incredible. We had great food. The hospitality was incredible. We met there at the airport in Johnstown, and the scenery was incredible. We had, you know, they have a lot of local things going on, and it was, you know, we had a little bit of time to be able to see some of that. So yeah, it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
Was there any one subject or something that like you went like, wow, I never thought about that before? Or
well, I think it was a little overwhelming, to be quite honest. You know, there's a lot of stuff, and so you get to reflect on each one. I think a lot of things that were impactful, I'd say, I can't tell you enough how much I enjoyed listening to, listening to Mike Owens and talk about his testimony and the things that, you know, and some of the story. He's a great storyteller, you know, he's just incredible. And getting to hear that and getting to, you know, and him actually living through tragedy and being able to come out on the other side of it with his attitude and with his strength is just incredible. And I can't see like a tornado event, or like we're under a tornado watch here in Knoxville, Tennessee until 4 p.m. tonight. So, you know, I can't see that without thinking about Mike and, sure, and thinking about, you know, his story and kind of reflecting on that. So I thought that was great. Of course, you know, always love hearing Clyde and Mark speak and Andre. I mean, I love hearing those. And I think if you take one of those out of the equation, I would have missed it, you know? So all of them equally added a lot of value to me, you know?
I found the two talks by Steve Hill fascinating.
Yeah.
Still not sure what to do with it. I've went back and listened to it a couple times, and
yeah,
it's just it's like you said, when you really start mining the scriptures and you start figuring out that what you've been taught all these years, you know, isn't even close to truth, you know, it's just mind blowing. Yeah.
Well, and I went through several emotions when I was coming to learn some of that stuff. You know, some of it was, in some ways, I think I may have felt a little angry, you know, and think, how did this happen? How was I so off track? How did this happen? And so I was angry, not only at myself, but, you know, my teachers and stuff like that. And then I realized that, hey, it's not about that. It's about getting where you are now and being very thankful for where you are, wherever that is, every day. And, I think God wants our thankfulness, you know, as it tells us in the Bible about the lepers that Jesus healed. And as they, the 10 of them, and as they turned around, walked away, I think there were 10.
Yeah.
One of them turned around and, you know, thanked him. And, I just want to be very conscious and thankful every day of every situation. And, you know, whether it's good or bad, there's a reason for it. There's a reason God has me in that place. And I just want to be thankful, you know? And, yeah.
You touched on it earlier, but, you know, we're both in our 60s now. So what are your thoughts about dying when you think about that process? And
yeah.
Or do you avoid thinking about it?
Yeah. I don't dwell on it or anything.
Right.
But, I saw both of my parents go down, one with dementia, and, that's just a horrible disease, you know.
My mother had it.
Yeah. So, you know, the situation, and, it's just horrible. And so, this is what I know. I know that God is sovereign. And I know, like I said, if you believe in God, that's great. If you believe in him, you got to believe, you know, what the Bible tells us, right? And I believe that God's got this, he's in complete control of everything. Otherwise, he wouldn't be sovereign. And so you've got to believe that God is sovereign. And if you believe that, then he's got this whole thing worked out. You know, the Bible tells us about it. And, you know, I'd encourage anybody, you know, watching this, if they don't understand that he's got it worked out, to maybe reach out and look for that in a Bible study just to kind of understand that he's got it all taken care of. And so we've got to have faith in that. We've got to put our faith in that. So the best thing that we can do is just not be concerned, know that we're not going to be around forever, and be more concerned with being thankful for every day that we have, mm-hmm. and for every moment that we get to spend with, you know, our children and grandchildren and family and friends, and not be too concerned about that, because God's got that taken care of tomorrow. You know, he's got that. He's going to be dealing with the next 5 minutes too. So just so you know, it's not just tomorrow that he's taken care of, right? He's in complete control. And just relax and enjoy your life and enjoy being around those people, and just, you know, be thankful.
I think that's a key point, that word relax. So, as you think about your life now and your feelings and all that, how's that compare to 15 years ago or whatever?
Oh my gosh. You ask some really good questions, Steve. Really good questions.
I do this for a living, so.
Okay, yeah. You're really good at it. Yeah. Yeah, it's completely different. You know, 15 years ago, I was worried about, you know, staying prayed up, you know, and realizing that, yeah, I was forgiven. But, you know, I was reading this morning about, you know, I think it could have been in Romans. I think, it was about being, you know, being justified. And just realizing that alone, I mean, this is life-changing stuff that we're talking about. And it can change your entire mentality so that you're understanding just how wonderful God is. You know, most religions paint that, you know, most Christian religions paint that, or, you know, they'll agree that, hey, God deserves, you know, the praise and the glory, and it's, you know, it's all about him, and he's done some wonderful things for some people, right? When you realize that God did this for everybody, oh my goodness, this is like, it's the most amazing gift ever. And you become, and I don't think I fully even realize, you know, I don't fully realize what that is, but I know that all the struggles and all the things that we're dealing with are going to be rewarded. And he's not going to, you know, none of those things are going to go unrewarded. And I'm just so thankful for that.
All right, we got about 9 minutes left. Where would you like to see some growth in your life? What are you working on now? Or, well, you don't have to work on it. God's doing it. But what do you see that path like?
Yeah, I don't know what God has planned for me next. And so I'll, you know, wake up every morning thinking about that. I really do. And I just kind of wait till the next day and kind of see what falls in place. You know, it's not like at one time in my life, I was, you know, I felt like it was my job to evangelize the world, you know, and, you know, now I realize God's doing that. Right. And I don't need to get too excited about that. I don't know. I've often thought about that, you know, and I'm, you know, I've been trying to take guidance from, you know, from Clyde and Andre and yourself, and just kind of, you know, what can I be, you know, I find work getting in the way sometimes when I've tried to, I think there was a couple of projects that I was going to try to work on, but it was just with family and work, it was just overwhelming. And I don't know, but I'm looking forward to the future. You know, I've often used to think that, you know, I was going to go in and you know, go out into the future, and now realize that God's bringing the future to me, you know? And so I just need to be aware of that, and, you know, wake up every morning and kind of see what he's got on the agenda for me today, you know.
That's a great way to live life, to know. Yeah. And you talked about the evangelizing, you know, years ago, I had that guilt if I met someone and then I hadn't said something religious to them. And then, you know, they were going to hell and that was all on me. And, the freedom from that is just, I can just relate to people, you know, like a person, not a project.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it helps you to be more, in tune and listening to what they're saying rather than trying to think about what you're going to say next, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's good. You know, we want to be thinking we can actually listen to them and hear what they're saying and, maybe try to offer some words of encouragement, you know, and rather than trying to change them or make them feel, like they're not included in our little group or, you know, it, again, it's not they and us anymore. It's all of us. It's all. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. I like what my friend Dean Wilkerson says. No one's getting cheated.
That's exactly right.
You know,
that is great.
Yeah. I love that saying. Yeah.
That is very good. Nobody's going to get cheated in this. Right.
It's going to be okay for everyone.
That's right.
And, God's in charge of that journey. All right. Well, as we wrap it up, is there anything you'd like to say before we go?
Gosh, I can't. I think one of the things that I would offer for anybody that's listening is the thing that helped me grow the most and helped me understand some things that I didn't quite understand was the Bible notebook, the Bible students
notebook. Notebook, yeah.
And that was incredible. I know that, you know, you can go on there and you can just about find any subject that you want to find in that, you know, I mean, how many years is of materials there? I mean, there's got to be.
Well, there's over 1,000.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like 1,100 or something now. Yeah. Yeah. So it's just a wealth of knowledge there. I think that was a big tool for me. I've kind of moved on from some of the Tent Maker. You know, they don't get me wrong. They still have some stuff that I refer back to, like J.W. Hansen's Four Works and stuff like that, that are really important that they have on their website. But yeah, I think the Bible Students Notebook, and then the, Clyde does a talk like once, I think it's like once a week, he has audio recordings. And I've been trying to listen to some of those. And that's all on the website.
Yeah.
I think, one thing that I found's good is I have Kindle. And so there's a lot of books on, you know, from Clyde Pilkington and Sons that are on Audible now, which is just incredible for me. I can download it immediately and, you know, start reading right away. So that's really good. So that's where I would, you know, if I wanted to leave something with someone that would be around, hey, get on the website, poke around, see what you can find, and, you know, maybe start studying with us, with all of us, right?
So. Yeah, that's right. Well, I appreciate you, brother. Ever since we met down there in Birmingham.
Yes.
It's been a blessing, and we're waiting for you to set up that meeting there in East Tennessee.
You know, I'd love to. I don't know. I don't know how many people we'd have show up. I should start trying to get a kind of a feel on that, try to get some folks out, you know.
Well, but as you've seen, people came from all over the country. So people are hungry for the fellowship. And
yeah. And it's a great place to, it's, you know, Knoxville's a great place to be. There's a lot of stuff to do. So, you know, and then we have the great Smoky Mountains within an hour's drive. And it's a great place to be. So yeah, I'll try to start thinking about that. That might be my contribution, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a great. All right,
We'll see.
brother.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve.
All right. Go Phillies.
All right. Go Phillies. Absolutely.
All right.
All right.
Thank
See
you,
you, brother.
brother. Yeah.
Bye-bye.